Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gable Brinson. I'm on the grid, and so is the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. Let's do this thing. It's the Wicked Wednesday edition of the program, which means Lou from Gamblew.com is going to step up. And then we've got a lot of stuff to break down. NHL hockey, UFC fighting, Major League Baseball, golf, and everything else in between. We got Major League Baseball news, suspensions, chaos. Oh, yeah, more rule changes because, you know, why not? By the end of the season, I think the World Series will be a three-inning throwdown, three innings, prime time, home run derby. So we got a lot of stuff to get to, including another early start with the Washington Nationals and the Toronto Blue Jays, yeah. A series that we're crushing. We're now 3-0 on this show. Two unders in a row, cashed the Blue Jays ticket yesterday. It's a little trickier today. Pearson makes his Major League Baseball debut, his first start. Here this evening, Blue Jays young pitching prospect, a phenom, and he gets Max Scherzer on the other side of the hill. A lot of stuff to get to today, Ken.
Yeah, no, and we talked about it. We robbed the bank twice, two Jays as dogs, two unders. I'm thinking about robbing it three times. I like the under in this baseball game at 8.5. Pearson is a top-notch prospect. He throws gas. Scherzer will be, probably electric for the Nationals, Gabe. I don't know where runs are going to be, where they're coming from. If we got unders with these other pitchers, it's going to be hard to get 9. I also have a lean to the Blue Jays. They're plus 145 in this baseball game, and, if it's very, very tight, they can get things done. They've been fantastic against Washington. Washington's having problems hitting. I'm going to the bank for a third time, buddy.
Yeah, there's been some late steam money coming in right now on the Washington Nationals. The Toronto Blue Jays are up to plus 154 at FanDuel. Wow. And, you know, the Blue Jays right now are a better team than the Washington Nationals are. Max Scherzer is a stud, but he's also a stud that's not on top of his game right now. He got lit up in that exhibition game against the Philadelphia Phillies. I didn't think much of it. He said he wasn't concerned. Then he got hit hard again in...
Yeah, he did get hit hard in his second game, Morenci, too. No, he doesn't look like the Max Scherzer that we know about and that we've come to know. And that's the thing. It's just, I remember the last time, too, off the top of my head, when Scherzer and the Jays got together, was a real pitcher's duel. They had problems hitting them when they had the full lineup and guys, and they still don't have their stars back. So 8.5 to me, I think attacking the total in this game is the best way to approach this game. I think we just attack the total. We take the under. And if you don't want to take the Jays, I love that juicy price at 1+54 there. But I, even on the run line, if the Nationals win by one run, I think we can do good there and get them at +1.5 and very, very low juice because the Nationals are such a big favorite now in this game. So, hey, I'm into it. We've done it two times in a row. We're 4-0 betting this series right now. Two unders. Two underdogs in the Blue Jays, and I'm coming back to the Toronto Blue Jays today with the under 8.5 in that game. There's also a couple other games on the schedule. We got the Cleveland Indians and the White Sox. That game goes off at 6:10 too. So Jays right now, they're just about to get the first pitch underway, and the White Sox and Indians now 6:10 in that ball game. I know Yang's been hitting parlays out of his mind, but I like the White Sox in a rebound situation with Giolito versus Plesac Morency. So I think the Blue Jays under, and I'm going with the White Sox at 6:10.
Yeah, two props that I would suggest in this baseball game are the strikeout props. Max Scherzer, you know, he gives up home runs, but he also strikes out a lot of batters. All right, we want to welcome all of our radio affiliates. Shout out to I'm Gabriel Morency. This is Game Time Decisions. We're on the clock right now. Another Washington National Toronto Blue Jay game. This time it's the Washington Nationals at the Toronto Blue Jays, except, no, yeah, not even at Buffalo. It's actually in Washington, which is ridiculously stupid, but there's a lot of things ridiculously stupid about Major League Baseball this year. So the Blue Jays are, you know, the designated home team. I like the strikeout props here, guys. Both Pearson and Scherzer, 8.5 and 3.5. I think we're going to get there. Pearson should be able to give us four innings or so, maybe five, hopefully, but I'm expecting four with four or five strikeouts. And whatever, dude, Scherzer had 11 strikeouts against the Yankees in the five innings. So I expect Scherzer to mow down a bunch of over-aggressive Jay hitters, even though the Jays have been pretty patient in the box. Scherzer has problems giving up bombs right now, Cam. And if there's one thing the Blue Jays can do, that's all they do is really hit home runs, the Toronto Blue Jays. So I think they match up well with Max Scherzer. They'll strike out a lot, but they also might hit two or three home runs off him.
Couldn't agree more, and I think that Pearson prop is too low. He will probably be on a pitch count, but the type of electric stuff that he has is going to induce strikeouts. That's a low number, 3.5. I'm with you. I would not be surprised if he got anywhere between 5 and 7 strikeouts. I like that one just as much, and you said it. Scherzer had the Yankees chasing. One thing the Blue Jays do is they have a lot of free swingers on that team. When they connect, it goes deep, but they strike out a lot too. A lot of solo bombs in this series. I love both pitching props over as well. Excellent point.
I got to tell you, there's a couple of strikeout props on the board here, Cam, that I don't know if they're traps, if they are, I'm going to be falling right into the well once again. You know, like Jacob DeGrom is on the hill here tonight against the Boston Red Sox. Now, listen, DeGrom never gets any run support. That's one thing that we do know about Jacob DeGrom. But we also know that he strikes out a hell of a lot of batters. His prop is 7.5. Tonight, you know, it just feels a little light for DeGrom.
I would have put it at 8.5. I agree with you. I think it's a little bit light. And DeGrom, the way the Mets are playing, Gabe, I have no problem with that. And Boston, they're not hitting well. He might stay in the game for a long time.
Gerrit Cole on the board as well tonight.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Game Time Decisions continues. I am Gabriel Morenci, throwing it down with a raging redhead. Cam Stewart, a lot of stuff to get to, a lot of games, a lot of different sports. We're on the clock right now, a little more than 24 hours away from the start of the NBA restart with the Pelicans and the Utah Jazz on the board. That game's at 6:30 Eastern time, just for the record, actually. So we're gonna be on live when that game starts. It's hard, it's hard to imagine the full slate of sports that are going to be going down on Saturday, but we'll have Major League Baseball, NBA basketball, and, of course, the NHL playoffs start on Saturday. NHL exhibition hockey started last night, and, you know, the flow was pretty good, actually, Cam.
I agree.
Pace was pretty quick. You know, I've been talking about the playoffs, and I expect me and George Kurtz were talking about this on Sports Rage Late Night the other night. I expect the younger teams and the speed-based teams to have success in this format. It's a little bit different. Like, everybody's got fresh legs right now, yet I personally think, and as somebody that's not 22 years old, I know that a 22-year-old getting on the ice and a 24-year-old getting on the ice is going to start flying around more than a 38-year-old on the ice, than a 36-year-old on the ice. You know, like a team like the Boston Bruins, they're a dangerous team. They're a mean team. They're also a team full of veterans and dudes that'll take a little while to get it dialed up. Pittsburgh Penguins, a lot of older guys on the team as well. I actually like your Toronto Maple Leafs in this format, in this sense, at least early on. And then maybe they can get some momentum going, but teams like the Oilers, teams like the Leafs, I think they can have some success. Good skating teams, Cam, I think can have some success in this format. We don't know. We've never been in this pandemic format before, but that's my opinion. I'm looking at speed-based teams, Cam, early.
I agree, because what was Boston's strength? Intimidation. That's the way they played. The St. Louis Blues, suffocation. That's what they do, right? They hit you. They hurt you. Their fourth line bangs you. I think it's going to be a little bit less contact. I think there's going to be more ice. The things that you can do, the face washes, the intimidation tactics. Yes, the Toronto Maple Leafs are one of the fastest teams in the league. I agree with you there. It's up to Freddie Anderson, a notorious slow starter, Gabe. And people don't remember, too, Anthony Asiou, the guy that came over from the Detroit Red Wings, is now an Edmonton Oiler. I don't think people understand how fast he is. People are looking at Chicago as an underdog. I think Edmonton murders them. I don't care if Koskinen starts, Mike Smith, it doesn't matter to me. You brought up a good point. When it talked about team speed, the Oilers and Leafs are two of the fastest teams in the league. And the intimidation and all the other things you do after the whistle due to this COVID-19, I agree with you. I think it's big-time advantage for the teams with speed. And Toronto just needs confidence. They've always been knocked out by Boston. If they can find a way to get through the first round and, you know, start to figure things out, I think they'll be a dangerous club.
You know, the thing is in hockey, guys, as well, you know, smaller teams, fast teams, finesse teams, you know, they can do well in the regular season. And then they get to the playoffs and the ice sort of gets smaller and people start like wearing them out a little bit more, like literally and figuratively. It's almost like UFC style. You know, when fighters lean their weight up against the other fighter on the fence. In hockey, it starts to wear. Like every little body check, every like lean in, wear on the guy. And that's why you'll always seem like a team, like you always see a team like the Montreal Canadiens. In the first round of the playoffs, in the first three, four games, you're like, damn, these guys are good. You know, they're like flying around like you're mad. Like, man, these guys are fast. And then about 10 days later, half of them are hurt. The other guys are scared to go in the corner anymore. The other guys are like going at half speed because they've had the living crap kicked out of them for the last 2.5 weeks through a playoff series. You're not going to have that now. So, like, these teams are fresh. It's like, yeah, we're not all beat up. You haven't hit me 82 times.
You haven't
gone through the grind of an 82-game season. So I'm telling you, I really believe this. I sort of think the plodding, grinding teams could have a little bit of a problem, Cam. It's almost like modern sport, like run and shoot. I think offense wins in the NHL now. I think it's going to be hard to win these games in this bubble 2-1. I don't think we're going to have 2-1 games. I think it's going to be 5-4, 4-3. There's going to be goals, man, because the defense is going to be a little bit slow. These kids can shoot. They're fast. There's going to be scoring opportunities. The goalies won't be in a zone yet. Trust me, I know. Takes a goalie a little while. You're just going to drop a goalie, and the pucks are coming fast. It's a tough spot. I'm expecting some goals. I'm leaning offense, and I'm leaning speed and youth coming into the first round here.
Yep, and I'll tell you another thing. Remember we broke it down? When we took the St. Louis Blues game, what did they do? They slowly, methodically beat San Jose up. And I use the Python analogy. Like a snake, they squeezed them till San Jose couldn't breathe anymore. San Jose, first couple games flying around. Ooh, look at us. And then the Blues pummeled them into the boards, hit you again. You don't want to make that move. And then they took over and won. Couldn't agree more. I think teams like the Blues, hate to say it, no repeat Stanley Cup champion. They're a good team. Colorado fits the mold of a team that's scary. The Leafs, they're very good. Edmonton, that's the thing. And I'll tell you, watch out, too, for these European players, Gabe. They haven't, with the COVID-19 stuff, these Swedes have been practicing for a long period of time. If you want to take a look at some long shots to win some awards, Pettersson of the Vancouver Canucks, like 50-1. They have Gabe Landeskog. All these guys, these European players will have an edge in the first little while, too. They've been practicing and playing a lot more. Couldn't agree more with the speed, buddy.
So the NHL playoffs start on Saturday. Noon Eastern time, the Rangers are the first team up. The Rangers and the Carolina Hurricanes. And then following, you got the Chicago Blackhawks and the Edmonton Oilers. So we got NBA that starts tomorrow night. And I threw this out there last night on Sports Rage late night. I played it. I expect the line to move. The Pelicans games at 6:30, guys. So a little more than 24 hours away from now. I believe that there'll be more money coming in on the Pelicans before this game tips off by tomorrow night. They're the flashier, they're the sexier team than the Utah Jazz are. Zion is back in the bubble. Zion is set to play, and I think a lot of casual fans aren't even fully aware. Like, oh dear God, there's the NBA's for real on Thursday. They're sort of caught up in baseball right now. There's a lot of stuff, man. We got UFC, we got hockey, we got golf. We'll get the Cavs golf picks a little bit later. Football picks.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, no, it's going to be absolutely crazy. We got the golf tournament, Gabe, and I'll be back on your late night show too, midnight tonight. I'll give you the six pack, some good top 10 and top 20 plays. Also with Kevin Walsh in game live. I'm doing quadruple duty today, Gabe. So 8 to 10, I'm on in game. But yeah, we'll go through everything. I will say this though, if you like the Pelicans, I agree with your method. You take them now because I would not be surprised if that line went to 3, 3.5 by the time that game tips. I'm actually going to wait and probably take the Utah Jazz. I think it's going to be a very, very good game to middle. So the line is just going to keep on going and going and going. You said it. The New Orleans Pelicans are public darlings. Everyone's going to bet these guys, and the line is going to move. If you like them, pull a Morency and get them now. Take them even on the money line. I wouldn't even screw around with the spread because I think we're going to get line value with the Utah Jazz in that game. I'm probably going to be betting on Utah. It's not going to be a popular play or a popular pick, but when the whole world is on the New Orleans Pelicans, I think I'm going to go the other way. And Utah's still a good basketball team. They still have guys on that team. They got Mitchell, Gobert. They got guys who can play. So I'm not just going to sit back and say, oh, yeah, the New Orleans Pelicans are just going to destroy these guys. I see a lot of line value with a team like Utah when people pound and pound and pound the Pelicans into the ground.
I don't think they're going to be able to keep up, Cam.
That's my opinion is I'm going to get a good number. I like what you did, though. Get it early because the line's going to go anywhere. It's not going down. It's going up. I'll take my chances with Utah. Yes, exactly. That's exactly what I say. Yeah, I'm not. If you like the Pelicans, you take them now. Exactly.
Yeah, if you like the Utah Jazz in this game, guys, Johnny Sixpack and Susie Housecoat are all going to jump in on the Pelicans. tomorrow. So we'll get into some more baseball. We've got a game coming, more games coming up before 7 o'clock, actually. The Cincinnati Reds, the biggest money burners in baseball right now. These guys just can't get on track. We'll break that down and more. Lou's going to step up in it as well. Gambler.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
News and betting update. You want the capping edge? Get on the grid. We got tons of news, as Morency said today. Breaking news all over the board. Kansas City Chiefs running back and Super Bowl hero Damian Williams, he's opting out of the upcoming NFL season. Williams rushed for 104 yards on 17 carries in that Super Bowl win over San Francisco. New York Giants veteran left tackle Nate Solder opting out as well. He has a history of testicular cancer and the association of COVID-19 risks just too much. He also has a young child at home battling cancer. Miami Dolphins first round pick Tua Tagovailoa, he passed his physical and could practice without limitations. Tua worked his way back from the hip injury and he'll battle veteran Ryan Fitzpatrick for the Dolphins' starting job. Baltimore quarterback Lamar Jackson endorsing wide receiver Antonio Brown as a possible free agent addition to the Ravens today after working out with him in the offseason. Brown's cousin Marquise already on the team. The NFL still has to finish their investigation of Antonio Brown on allegations of sexual misconduct and assault. The 49ers have agreed to contract extension with general manager John Lynch through the 2024 season. Notre Dame, they're joining the ACC conference this college football season. They'll play an 11-game sched with one non-conference contest. The ACC campaign will begin September 7th to 12th. Virginia Tech cornerback Caleb Farley, a potential first-round pick, opting out of his college season to prep for the NFL. The University of Texas now exploring how to host football games at a 25% capacity instead of previously thought 50% at their stadium. We got MLB action all over the board right now. Let's get you to the live scoreboard. Colorado right now, they are up on Oakland 3-1 in the top of the ninth inning. Arizona and Texas tied at 2. They're in the bottom of the 7th. Washington and Toronto, top of the 2nd, scoreless. We got Chicago and the White Sox and Indians 0-0 in the bottom of the 1st inning. Dodgers reliever Joe Kelly suspended 8 games for his role in Tuesday's bench-clearing brawl versus Houston. I'm not a fan of throwing at people's head. He gets 8 games. Miami's team outbreak now 18. One more tested positive for coronavirus. The Marlins will now be able to play baseball at least until Monday. They'll be off. The Phillies, on the other hand, 2 negative tests for COVID-19 for a 2nd straight day. They're back in action Saturday when they play a double dip against the Toronto Blue Jays. Nick Markakis returning to action for the Atlanta Braves after opting out of 2020. 36-year-old is the first player of 14 who actually returned to action after opting out. The Nationals getting a huge boost soon. Juan Soto been cleared to return to play after missing the entire season so far because of that positive COVID-19 test. He hopes to resume workouts by August 1st. And the NBA and NBAPA announcing today no more positive tests out of 344 players tested. The bubble's working. The NBA tipping off tomorrow. Commissioner Silver says he will respect peaceful protests from the players as well. And good news for the Lakers star Anthony Davis. He plans on playing versus the Clippers on Thursday night. That's the opening night of the NBA restart. I'm Cam Stewart. That's your Sports Grid News and Betting Update. Now back to host Gabe Morency on Game Time Decisions.
Game Time Decisions continues. I am Gabe Morency, throwing it down with a raging redhead. Cam Stewart. Lou from Gamblu.com ready to step up and join us. We're talking UFC, NHL. We'll get into some Major League Baseball as well. The Blue Jays and the Nationals still scoreless. We're on the Blue Jays and the under once again, as we've been the last couple of days on the show. We're also banging on these strikeout props. Before six, let me just make sure before we bring Lou in here. So I want to make sure we're talking about the Cubs,
640.
And the the Cubs and the Reds. Man, the Reds 1-4 right now, burning money, 640. So we'll get you ready for that game. It's still scoreless between the White Sox and the Indians right now. In the second, LouGamblou.com joins us. Lou, it's always a pleasure, sir. How you doing?
It's always my pleasure, Gabriel. How you doing? I can say that I am a one baseball future guy, and it's the under 32.5 with the White Sox, and one or two series does not a season make, but those look like the same old White Sox to me.
Hey, you know what? You're breaking Cam's heart. When I heard you say you got one future and it's on the under, I thought you were going to say it's the other Sox. I was going to say, oh, you're looking good. With the Boston Red Sox, Lou. So what, you decided to buy into the Chicago White Sox hype this year, Lou?
No, I faded it. I took the under 32.5. And
so
I
you're
just
not
thought,
buying in?
No, I'm not buying in a bit.
The White Sox, the Reds, Tampa was heavily hyped, but they're actually good, though.
Well, we'll see. I don't think you should be ripping up any tickets yet, nor should you be celebrating. There's a lot left, but, I mean, I'm watching hockey up here right now. There's baseball going on, and I'm not an NBA guy whatsoever, but there's NBA starting up, too. So, I mean, you guys got to be busy. You have to be happy, and I know the handicappers for the other sports get a chance to work now and join us UFC guys that have been, you know, grinding for a couple months now.
Yeah, quickly about the White Sox, I wouldn't panic. I think the Reds are in bigger trouble than the White Sox are right now. The White Sox have had a really difficult schedule so far to start the season. You know, they're going to get an opportunity to beat up on some teams before this is done. Yeah. But, we'll get into some UFC, but we're in a hockey mood because the hockey playoffs are back starting on Saturday. How are you approaching this, Lou? Are you betting the series? Are you taking a look at the games on Saturday? What's your approach as far as from a handicapping and betting approach?
You guys know me. This may not surprise you. It's not great radio for people that want to bet because my tactic for this is that I don't have any advantage right now. I'm reading the same thing the handicappers are reading. I'm reading the same thing everyone else is reading, and really that's nothing. So this is going to be a 9-day period where, except for on the 2nd and the 9th, which is when there's UFC cards, I will watch every game from start to finish. I'm going to be running the office from here. But I will be watching the first 9 days, and I will not make a bet. I've made one future bet that I posted on my webpage today, and that's available to everyone. It's a St. Louis for the Campbell, and it's a St. Louis for the Cup bet. That's all I've done so far. And everything I do will come. And I'm going to be active, and I'm really looking forward to this season. But I'm not going to do anything until the 9 days are over. And all the guys that need action that are guessing and trying to guess right, some of them I hope will guess right and some may not. I know this. When the 9 days are over, I'll have advantage. And I think that's when it's going to suit me best to jump in and get involved right before the tournament actually starts.
I like the Blues. I like the Blues through the regular season. I thought that people were sort of sleeping on them once again. I thought they were sort of poised and the type of guys that could go on another deep run once again. I don't know, though, now. And like you said, none of us know, Lou, right? We're all speculating coming into this restart right now. Now, I've heard people that cover the St. Louis Blues say that they're not quite the same, that they're not fully into this sort of quarantine and the bubble, that it's taken a little bit of the edge off. Me and Cam were talking earlier, and Cam, that's the thing, we'll see if the St. Louis Blues. I actually, it's all speculation. It's just our opinions, but that's what I get paid to do and have. So I think the Bruins and the Blues, the further they go on, the tougher they'll be and the more normal it'll be. But I'm saying, like, you want to knock off the Boston Bruins, Cam, you do it in the first round this year. Same with the Blues, right? Like before, I talked about it earlier, Lou, I expect the veteran teams to sort of take a week or two, maybe a couple of weeks to even get it dialed up. And they're going to have to survive the first round then to get it dialed up. So, you know, it's interesting. I can't wait to see how it plays out. You know, that's what is so cool about this five-game playoff series is right out of the gate starting Saturday morning. Go on, Luke.
So I want to butt in on you there. So my information coming out of St. Louis is that led by Binnington, they have a chip. They don't like that they've been overlooked, and that's a big part of why I bet them, and I believe that because I have people in St. Louis. So again, is my information good or not? I don't know. We'll find out in some time. But I want to kind of agree with what you're saying there, you and Cam, and I want to say the same thing maybe a different way, and that is this year in hockey, I'm looking for continuity. So I want a good mix of veteran and youth. Everybody's healthy, so we don't have to worry about that. I want a stable coaching entity and a mature team because they've played like a Boston is example, exhibit A. I think to a degree, so is Tampa Bay. The difference between Tampa and Boston is Boston doesn't need the precision, the speed, and the timing and the intricacy that Tampa does. And so teams like Boston that play from the goal out, that have veteran leadership and great stable coaching, as a team like the Blues, a team maybe like the Golden Knights, but those are the teams that I'm selecting. And if you rely on speed, precision, and timing or special teams, you're going to get discounted from me early on.
LouGamblou.com with us. All right, Lou, let's get in. Let's get into the fights. The UFC. So they're back. They're back from the Middle East right now. They're back into the smaller octagon in Las Vegas at the Apex Center, Lou.
Back to Vegas and the Apex. And, you know, I had my doubts, guys, if they were going to make it back, but it looks like they're going to do it, and the environment's there is as safe or close to as safe as it was in Abu Dhabi. And I'm tickled now that they're establishing both sites because this card has one Russian, one Brazilian, and a bunch of Americans. And the last card had fighters from 15 different countries. So he's now being able to start to utilize a domestic location and a foreign location. And I'm tickled. I love the guy's tenacity because we're going to be handicapping fights from now till the end of the year and into 2021.
All right. So what do you make of the main event here, Lou? -310. I was surprised to see it this high for a young fighter, but a young fighter that a lot of people think is a future champion. 22-year-old, 11-0 fighter, has been dominant in the UFC. It's a step up in class though for Edmund here right now. What do you make of this fight, Lou?
I think you hit it right on the head, my friends. A huge step up in class. Okay, he's not been into the second round outside of his UFC debut against Darren Stewart, who at the time he fought him was slow and sluggish. After that, Charles Byrd, Jack Marshman, and Brad Tavares, whose name is good, but we got to understand Brad Tavares is a shell of the fighter that fought Robert Whittaker some years ago. So the question with Shabazian is not his youth, not his speed or his explosion. He's a great striker. He's been able to take a lot of these men to the ground quite easily, but he steps up in class against a guy that I think has a little bit better wrestling pedigree than him, as well a guy that's got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder because he knows the situation he's being put in. You have to understand his only four losses in his last 3 years have been to Anderson Silva, Jacare Souza, Adesanya and Whitaker. And in both Whitaker and Adesanya's cases, they beat Brunson to go to the championship, which is what the whole organization is setting up. And I don't think Brunson's having too much of it. What that means to me is I think we'll get his best focused effort on Saturday night. And right now, I'm not willing to say I'm going to bet him, but I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to let the parlay players lean on Shabazian, get maybe Brunson instead of 250, 260, see if I can't can't get closer to 300. But if I bet that, it's Brunson or nothing.
Lou, from a fight fan perspective, I think you can make a strong argument that the fight of the night here will be Randy Brown and Vicente Luque. Fun fight. And Randy Brown's an intriguing fighter, Lou. A guy who I give credit to. I've seen the rapid the improvement, the development of his game, the expansion of his game. And he's a dangerous fighter right now. Luque's a badass as well. What do you make of this fight, Lou? It's going to be a fun one. I thought it'd be, I'm surprised that the number's as big as it is. Yeah, I thought this would be more of a 130 or a 140 fight. And right now, I see, Randy Brown is plus 158. Luque, minus 188. That surprised me a little bit, Lou. Value with Brown.
I have to agree with that. And there's reasons I do like Brown in this fight. And we'll get into him on the other side.
Hold that thought. Yes, sir. Kate Dunstan.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game Time Decisions continues. I am Gabriel Retzer, throwing it down with the Ranger Redhead Cav Stewart, as well as Lou, Gamblu.com, joining us right now. Just quickly before we get back to the MMA with Lou, you can find Lou over at Gamblu.com and on Twitter at Gamblu. The Cincinnati Reds, biggest money burners in baseball so far. Going off the board here in a moment, Cam, what do you make of this game?
I am actually going to take the Cincinnati Reds, Gabe, and they burned money before, but I think it's a good spot for them with Sonny Gray. So I believe in Sonny Gray. I think it's a pick'em price. Kendricks is a guy that looked pretty good in his opener, but I'm on Cincinnati today, Gabe. Just because they lost, I don't get off the train yet. It's a long season. Cincinnati, I hope it's their day today.
1-4 start. I tell you what, yeah, Hendricks was amazing. In his debut. Strikeout prop, 4.5, shaded to the over, but that's just too low. We're going to jump in. We're all about the strikeout props here tonight. And for the record, Pearson has two KOs right now for the Jays, still scoreless, and Max Scherzer has two as well. Mm-hmm. Lou Gamblu.com joining us. All right, Lou. So I sort of jumped around the card just because I was excited about that fight. So I brought up the Luque and the Randy Brown fight, and well done. As very, very well done, Lou. I shouldn't have even stepped on you on your way out. And he said, well, I'll share the rest of my thoughts on the other side after the break. You've come a long way from like 2 years ago when you used to speak through the commercial breaks.
All the way through.
We love you, Lou.
Now you're like, you're stopping on a dime better than I am.
This technology makes it easy.
All right, yeah, very impressive, Lou. So, So as you were saying about Randy Brown, yeah, you can tell the kid's just gotten better over the years, added more to his game, Lou. Used to just sort of be a grinder. Now he can knock you out, too. He can punch you in the face.
Striking rapidly improving, though I still don't really view him as a power striker. I do give him a wrestling edge here because I've never seen Luque use his BJJ, and we saw that Luque had trouble navigating Stevie Thompson, who was very deft, cute, long, and could move pretty well. So I don't know that Randy Brown really is going to take that same approach. I think he tries to while it's on the feet, only long enough. I really think Randy Brown can wrestle Luque up here. I already bet Randy Brown plus 165. I would recommend anyone right now to go ahead and take a price that's good because we don't know what could happen. But I do like Randy Brown here. Normally, I want to wait on an underdog and let the price rise a little bit, but I don't know if this price will hold this long. Randy Brown has tremendous physical attributes. He's taller, longer, and like I say, a better wrestler. So I think he's a live dog in this position. And you picked the fight, Gabriel, Luque and Brown, as well as the main event, Shabazian and Brunson. These are fights where the winner is going to be propelled and the loser is going to free fall a little bit. And so they're both telling critical fights within the card. And there's a couple of them like that.
Yeah, Joanne Calderwood is one of those fights. Mm. This the woman's fight, Lou, is one of those fights. But what do you make of any opinion on Calderwood and Jennifer Maia?
No, not a strong one, except that if Maia can get it to the ground, let me put it a different way. Maia must get it to the ground to have any chance in this fight, and I don't think she can. I think Calderwood, by deciding to fight, even though Shevchenko was hurt, tells me that she's ready and amped up and ready to go. And I think that if she keeps it on the feet, she's going to have an easy time. Not an easy time, but I think she'll piece Maia up and look good and then be ready for her championship fight against Shevchenko.
Another fighter that's greatly improved, Joanne Calderwood. You see, she's put the work in over the years. She just used to be just sort of a crazy, tough Scottish chick that was just kind of a brawler. She wasn't really that good, but she had a heart, big heart, and she was just tough. She went to TriStar, starts to come together a little bit. She's got the mental toughness now, 33 years old. Good for her, you know. She'll get murdered against Shevchenko. She'll end up in the hospital for 2 months, but...
But you're right.
Not this fight.
she did struggle mentally early in her career, and you brought up all the you know salient points. I totally agree. But she is no match for Shevchenko. I equate Shevchenko as co-heir to the GOAT of women's MMA, Nunez and Shevchenko. I do not give Nunez advantage over Shevchenko. Based on the two fights those two women had and the fact that Shevchenko is naturally 125 and Nunez is 140.
Listen, we don't have time to get into the debate. I will agree when Nunez leaves, Shevchenko will be the new queen. But wins matter. I totally get it. Nunez is just unbelievable. Shevchenko's a killer as well. So what about
Randall? I want to stay to this card. I didn't mean to digress. Yeah. I want to stay to this card because I like some dogs. So.
Well, we haven't argued in a couple of weeks. We can get into a little debate there. We don't have enough time. It's not enough time now, Lou.
I'll save it for next week.
It's only an hour show, fellas.
I'm not going to pick Amanda Nunes' hill to die on either. I got other beefs. You know what I mean?
So, I love it.
So you got Lando Venata and Bobby Green, and if not that fight, you know, what are you looking at? Anything you like on this card that stands out to you besides the fights we talked about?
I like a new kid coming in. His name is Manis. He's fighting Borg. Borg is a guy that really wanted to fight at 25, but he can't make weight, and he's a touch undersized at 35. This fight's at 135. He's fighting a kid in Manis that's coming from a regional circuit, but he's also had UFC competition. He got beat by a guy named Lapalus. That was his loss. That said, he beat a Canadian named Arnett, who you guys probably know, and that's a good fighter. Manis is 5'10 to Borg's 5'4. He's going to have a 72-inch reach advantage to Borg's 63. Borg's going to have to wrestle in this fight and get inside, and I think Manis has enough wherewithal at 29 and a kid that's been dying to get into the UFC. He can keep him in the outside, and I think I don't want to say he'll finish him, but I think Manis is in a really, really good spot as a plus 195 dog or better.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot, you know, and trends don't carry over into the next card. Every fighter is different, so to speak. But we're seeing, you know, Lou, these guys right now during this pandemic that I sort of took a shot at before when we did get into a disagreement. When I said, let's just be real. Yeah, they're not all really UFC caliber fighters that are fighting right now. But as you stated, there's a lot of these fighters. Like, I questioned a young girl, man. She was 20 years old, 19. I was like, man, this girl's not ready.
She was good.
They're just throwing it in her. Yeah. She was great. You know what I mean? There's been a couple of dudes, 30-year-olds, you know, coming in here that never got a shot before. Now they did, and they took advantage of that. So I'm not going to hold them against it. And I can see where you're coming from here with Madison. You know, Borg's been through so much, man. The guy got hit in the face with a dolly, glass in a dolly. His kid nearly died. He needs money. His kid cost a lot of money to take care of. He fights all the time. You know what I mean? Like, he's got to be a little bit worn out, Lou. And then you got a hungry 29-year-old coming in here, like, that's fresh and ready to fight.
Yeah, a guy that's going to have to cut to make 135 against a guy that needs to try and get up to 135. It's just a terrible setup for Borg. I will say this. My observations in the last year to 18 months is these kids coming from the regional scene are much more adept and prepared for the UFC than they were back some years ago. That's a general observation, yeah. But I think it to be true.
Yeah, but not just sort of like the champs. Oh, he was a PFL champ, or oh, he was this champ. You don't have to be a champ. Just sort of a hungry fighter that's kind of flown under the radar. And there's been quite a few of these guys. One guy that's not a young, hungry fighter flying under the radar, Cam's guy, Short Fuse, Ed Herman.
Ed Herman.
39 years old. Still gone. I've met Ed Herman a couple of times, and I'll tell you, like, he is surly. he is like you think he is, Lou. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you sort of like typecast Ed Herman, and that's Ed Herman, like, in real life. Like, what are you looking at? Like, he's one of those guys. You got a problem? Like, as he's having a drink. You know, but nice enough guy. But man, this guy, real veteran of the sport. I'm looking back. He had his first UFC fight, guys. In 2006 against Kendall Grove.
Unreal.
Kendall Grove.
Wow.
That's a name out of the past.
Yeah, Jason McDonald, tough guy out of Edmonton. I don't know if you remember him, yep. Lou.
You know him.
Yeah, I know him. Well, man, this guy fought everyone. Kendall Grove, Jason McDonald.
Herman's an animal.
Scott Smith. Yeah. Our boy from Winnipeg, Joe Dirksen, Damian Maya, Alan Belcher, David the Crow. So basically, he's fought every Canadian fighter ever. Aaron Simpson. Yeah, it's true. My friend Aaron Simpson in Lou's backyard. Good guy. Great guy, Aaron Simpson. Arizona State.
That's
Tim
right.
Kruder, Kyle Noak. Man, Ed Herman's fought everybody. What do you make of that fight against Mearshart?
I'm gonna notice that he's a dog, and by fight time he's gonna be a bigger dog. The only way to go here for me would be to take the dog Herman in this fight. Mearshart's gonna have speed, and I think he's probably the better fighter. That said, Herman's more acclimated to the 205 because Mearshart's stepping up to meet Herman in this weight class. It's a one off. If anything, over 1.5, I'm seeing -140, -150. I could see these two guys making a go of it for a little bit. But I'd lean to Herman.
Any opinion, Lou, on the Spicely and Marcus Perez fight?
None whatsoever, but I do want to get out of here and tell you that this Jonathan Martinez, he's the guy that lost a split decision to Andre Uhl, and he's fighting a guy named Frankie Saenz, who's from Phoenix, and he's basically Cejudo's training partner at Fight Ready. Do not underestimate Frankie Saenz, and the market is Jonathan Martinez, because he lost a close split decision that most people thought he should have won. They're on him like they got tomorrow's sports page, and while Martinez is younger, taller, longer, and a lefty, I think Saenz is going to come in here and truck this kid. I am not convinced of Martinez, and I know what Frankie Saenz has, and that's heart, grit, desire, and he's a nice plus underdog. Frankie Saenz, the Manus kid, and Randy Brown, three dogs, and we haven't seen a lot of dogs since the May 9th UFC came back into business. Favorites, 89-37, running 70.6. But I'm firing on underdogs this weekend, guys. What's that tell you?
Lou, gambler.com. Lou's walking the pooch this week. All right, Lou, so we'll let you get back to your hockey research. I like your attitude. You've got more patience than most people do. But I tell people this all the time. I will watch sporting events I don't have money on. It's usually college football. Like, you know, I'm flicking around, I'll have money on the games. but I'll stop and I'll watch other games that I don't have money on for future reference points, right?
Bingo.
You can't replace seeing the teams play. You can read all the data you want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Watch the teams play, and it sets up for the future. And we know this in the fight game, Lou, right? Hey, yeah, this guy won, but we're going to fade him next time because everyone's buying in, right? You set it up. It's setting up your shot, guys. You know what? You got to actually watch the games. You know what I mean? You watch these sports. Yep. So, you know, it's as simple as that. LouGamblou.com. Great stuff as always, Lou.
Thanks, guys. Good luck, everyone.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Cam, we're on the clock right now, except, not really. We're really not. The next game's up at 7:05. There's a bunch of games at 7:10. We'll get to your golf on in-game live here. We still have another hour to go with me and Cam. Are you on in-game live like all night tonight too? Or is it a Cam Stewart marathon today?
It is. Wednesdays become the marathon day. I started at 8 o'clock with Dane. And I go past midnight with you tonight. And I got, after this, Walsh and myself, 8 to 10, take a little bit of a break. Maybe I'll have a couple beers, and I'll join you at midnight for Sports Rage Late Night Edition. Yeah, and I did the morning show with Dane and those guys, too. So it's been a long one for the Bear today.
Yeah, it kind of takes a little shine off. Like, I feel like, Dave, I'm like, you're taking shine off. You're doing other shows before Sports Rage Late Night. It's like going on the Johnny Carson show, and I find out you're doing Letterman, like, you know, a half hour before. It's like,
hey, I can only do what I'm told, Morency. Don't worry, I'll bring my demand. A game, buddy.
Yeah, what can you do? You're in demand.
Yes.
Okay, so the next game up is the Brew Crew, our main man Kyle in Atlanta.
God,
I'm starting to hate those guys. And hate's a strong word, but I really don't like them. No, the Brewers. Yeah. I'm tired of it. Oh, the Brewers have cost me twice this year, but it's like minus 184, minus 190.
That's
I'm sick of
thing.
It. And even when they win, when I bet on them, I got to go 13 innings. Like, they can't even score when they get a free run on second base, Cam. They had to go to 11 innings to win that game.
Oh, I know.
They're useless.
Did you see what they did the other game, too? They pissed it away. Former Blue Jay Justin Smoke, nice air. Pittsburgh came back and tied up that game. They had control. They had a five-run inning. This team, Gabe, and they're minus 180 every night, I'm with you. I think they win tonight, but the Brew Crew have cost me more than anything. That's the thing. Cincinnati at least loses a pick 'em. These guys are close to $2. Pass.
Yeah, I'm not They'll touching. Win, I got to stay away. I'm not in.
They'll
One
win.
Thing we can tell you,
They're
though, the Brewers are 22-7 in the last 29 games that Woodruff has started.
Yeah, I like them tonight, too. I like them.
I like them.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.